Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me in the extra hour is Pat.
Hello.
And Steve.
Good day.
If you missed the first hour, good day, good day. If you missed the first hour, you want to make sure to catch it. We talked about the love walk. Walking in patience. Suffering for the Lord. Without complaining. Listen, this is the joy we have. To join the Lord in the fellowship of His suffering. A special intimacy. We've got so much to share with you today. We're going to talk about the Constitution. We're talking about another part of the Constitution. Another part of the Constitution and freedom. You don't want to miss it. We're going to be talking about the fear of the Lord. You know, guys, I had a chance, and I was talking to Chris about this yesterday. I had a chance to, when I was in the city, to experience some really incredible talent in New York City. And one night, we're passing through, and I think we were down, I guess, in Times Square. And I'm amazed of the talent, what people can do. We were walking across, and we heard some banging noise. And I'm like, what is this? What is going on? It was a little commotion. And in New York, you never know what that could be good, that could be bad. You don't know what that is, especially in Times Square. And all of a sudden, we finally get to it because it was loud. We get to it, and this is what we get to. I want you to listen to this. We'll make this available on The Torch. This is a man who has a box. Two buckets.
Oh my gosh.
And sticks. Those are not drumsticks. Those are just regular sticks. That's some sort of metal contraption on the floor. By this time, there's a whole crowd. Yeah. You know? And if you know me, I'm like, come on, come help the guy out. Come on.
Bad.
Is that awesome or what?
That's pretty cool.
I mean, he goes on for like 10 minutes. He is tearing it up. But he goes encore. There's people gathering all around and giving him money. And this is how he makes his living. And several times when I've been out there to the city, I've seen him. And he's like, he's a main attraction. He's a main attraction. And we want to make sure we make that available for you on The Torch so you can see it. But it's so cool when you see people that get out there and just exercise your gift. You know, this guy, he has two buckets, a box.
Two sticks.
Wood sticks. I mean, they're not like drumsticks. They're like pieces of bark or something. Off a tree. I'm like, what is that? And he is just tearing it up. And people are coming by and giving him money and all that type of stuff. Just goes to show you that if you have a gift, use it, exercise it. And my goodness, even you, too, can be in Times Square. He wasn't on the billboards, but he was definitely doing something that was pretty cool. And he really, really enjoyed it. But, you know, we're talking about yesterday, and we want to continue. We'll probably be sharing this whole week so we can get the fullness of it. But we were talking about the importance of the Constitution and the framework. And we have a series we want to share with you from Judge Napolitano. Yesterday, we actually played part two. But today we're going to play part one for you, and we'll make sure that these are related so that you can have them in the series. There's six parts, I believe, to this series, and really gives us a good understanding, gives us a framework to delve deeper and to really get an understanding of the original intent. We talked about how if you don't know the original intent of whatever item or product or anything that you have, then you really are not really maximizing the use of that product. You don't know, but when you're able to find out from the inventor, the producer, the manufacturer, that, you know, this is what the intended purpose of this product is, then you're actually going to be able to use it and be happy. If you've got a fan and you're trying to cool a house with a fan, hello, you're trying to do something, use something that was not the intended purpose. The intended purpose was just to move air, not to cool the air. An air conditioner will do that. Well, applying that little simple analogy and that simple principle, if we don't know what the original intent of the Constitution was, if we didn't understand what was the mindset, if we don't understand what was going on in the culture and in the world at that time, what was happening to the 13 colonies, if we didn't know what the framers were doing when they put this Constitution together, if we didn't know the story behind the story, if you don't know what I mean?
Like Paul Harvey.
Hello. Exactly. Then how can we truly appreciate it?
Right.
Well, throughout this series, we're going to try to give you the story behind the story and for you to really understand what this Constitution really means and how we need to just make sure that we stand for it. Because mm-hmm. God has just given us these amazing rights, and it would be an awful shame to lose them.
Why should we all understand the Constitution? To start with, it is the supreme law of the land. So all laws written by the Congress, by the state legislatures, and by all local governing bodies, and all acts undertaken by anyone, anywhere in the government that conflict with the Constitution, are unconstitutional and invalid. Even though we have all been taught since grade school that in a democracy the majority rules, what we should have been taught is that in our democracy, the majority rules only when that majority is consistent with the Constitution. That's the reason that everyone in government, local, state, and federal, takes an oath to uphold the Constitution above all else in the law. The Constitution does more than just establish and define the federal government. It guarantees that no government can interfere with basic human liberties. We all know what these liberties are: freedom to think, to speak, to publish, to travel, to complain to the government, freedom to worship or not to worship, the right to defend yourself and your freedoms, the right to be left alone, the right to have a government that is fair and a government that defends your freedoms. The Constitution recognizes that those rights are integral to our humanity and imposes upon the government an affirmative obligation to defend them. Question: if the Congress, or if a state legislature, enacted a law which the president or a governor signed that abolished the freedom of speech, would we all still have the freedom of speech? Answer: yes, because the freedom of speech is a natural right, and we all have it by virtue of our humanity, whether the government recognizes that or not. Question: how would we know, and who would tell us, that a law interfering with the freedom of speech is unconstitutional? Answer: we all know when our liberties are being curtailed, but it is the job of the courts to tell us and to stop the curtailment. Now, some have argued that in a democracy, the majority should rule and thus always get its way. After all, we fought a revolution against a king in order to get this right. Yes, but the Constitution was written to keep the majority from trampling the minority. That's why we have judges. We have three branches of government. Two of them, the Congress and the President, are the democratic branches since they are popularly elected. Their job is to do the people's will consistent with the Constitution. But the third branch, the judiciary, is the anti-democratic branch. Its job is to assure that the other two branches follow the Constitution and thus assure our liberties. Many patriotic Americans have felt frustrated when the courts declare unconstitutional something that many folks want to be the law. But if the law violates the Constitution, it is the job of the courts to tell us so and to invalidate that law. Were this not so, then nothing could prevent a popular majority from writing laws that take the freedom and take the property of an unpopular minority. Throughout our history, we have seen periods of time when the system worked and periods of time when it did not. In the series you are about to watch, you'll see times when we sent to the government representatives and presidents who loved freedom and feared big government. They remembered, or they understood, what it was like to live under a king. You will also see that in more recent times, we have generally sent to the government representatives and presidents who were more interested in power than in freedom, in telling us how to live instead of leaving us alone. How did this happen? Why did we lose freedom? Does the government today even remotely resemble the one the Constitution established in 1789? These are the questions we will ask and attempt to answer in this series of talks on the Constitution and human freedom. As you watch and listen, keep an eye and an ear out for all the things that Congresses and presidents have done to subvert the Constitution. They have perpetrated those subversions in times of fear and stress and with great popular support because they persuaded the people that upholding the Constitution would be too painful. But they all took a solemn oath to uphold it, and they have all forgotten this truism. If the provisions of the Constitution are not upheld when they pinch as well as when they comfort, they may as well be abandoned.
Wow, that's powerful. We appreciate Judge Napolitano, who's, you know, he was a judge.
Okay? Yeah.
So this is really good. But we talk about the Constitution. It's the supreme law of the land, mm-hmm. that every elected official takes an oath, an mm-hmm. oath, hand on the Bible. It takes an oath to preserve, to protect, and to defend.
Yeah, that's right.
And what's really cool is he was saying that in a democracy, you know, you look at the majority rules. And if we didn't have the Constitution, the whole idea is that the majority rules as long as
they abide by the Constitution.
They abide by the Constitution.
That's right.
Yeah.
And if it's not constitutional, it's not constitutional. And the Constitution protects that no government today or tomorrow, right? Because each generation is important to hold on to those truths for their generation and also to be able to pass that along to the future generations. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be the generation that fell asleep and said we let the Constitution go.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really cool is he kept on talking and sharing about that if what gave you a hypothetical question. What if the Congress passed a law that made it illegal a certain speech? Just made it illegal. You took mm-hmm. away the freedom, you know, your free speech. Would it still be illegal? Would you still have that right?
Mm, right.
And the answer was
yes.
Yes. Because those are God-given rights. No law can take away the rights that were afforded us in the Constitution. That was a natural right given to us. So no matter if they make a law, if it doesn't line up with the Constitution, mm-hmm. it's not a law.
That's right.
It's not a law. And the people that are supposed to help us to make sure that it lines up with the Constitution is the judicial branch. And it's the job of the judges in the court to say, that's unconstitutional, throw that out. Or that is constitution and it lines up with the Constitution. Every law that has ever been passed all mm-hmm. have to line up with the Constitution.
That's right.
If it's unconstitutional, then it has to go. And just this basic understanding really helps us to understand because this is what the Constitution also does, is that it helps to protect the minority. Because if it was just about the majority ruling, the majority will squash out any minority that's there. But majority can rule as long as it lines up with the Constitution. And this is an interesting series. We have four more parts of this series to share with you. And we want to encourage you to study up. Get yourself a pocket Constitution. In fact, you can go to the Torch and search Constitution. And when you search Constitution, you'll find out that there is a bunch of segments and highlights in regards to the Constitution.
Right.
And you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised by everything that's there. Mm-hmm. And we talk about particular amendments as well. Second Amendment, talk about the Fourth Amendment. And this is good stuff. We're hoping and we're going to be having a Constitution game in the near future. Or just like we did with the citizenship game, we don't Uh-oh. Know who the contestants are going to be at this time. We don't know. But we're going to have that so that we can learn this together, so that we can do the due diligence and find out all the things that, mm-hmm. that we need to know about our country and mm-hmm. all the wonderful things. In fact, there was some interesting things that happened around this week. This week's many, many years ago, and I thought this was pretty, pretty interesting. But this week, in fact, June 17th, which is just a couple of days ago, in 1885, the Statue of Liberty arrives. It's ABC News reporting this. It said, after 10 years of construction, the Statue of Liberty arrived in New York Harbor, packed into 214 crates. June 17th, 1885. Someone who's doing the math, wow. Tell me how many years ago that was. But the statue was a gift from the French government, and they commissioned this sculpture, Frederick Auguste mm-hmm. Bartholdi, to design a lady in recognition of America's centennial in 1876. And so they made this. President Grover Cleveland dedicated the statue a year later on October 28th.
That's 128 years ago.
128 years ago. 6 years later, check this out. 6 years later, Ellis Island became the Ellis Island Immigration Station opened, and it's 51 years of operation. More than 12 million immigrants passed through Ellis Island, all of whom saw the Statue of Liberty as their first welcome to America.
Wow.
I mean, that's huge. You know, I've been in New York Harbor. We've been to, there's a park called Liberty Park. The Statue of Liberty is actually on the Jersey side, not on the New York side. And from the park, you could actually see the back of the statue. Mm-hmm. It's really large. Mm-hmm. It's truly large. And if you're listening to us in the New York, New Jersey area, you can go to Staten Island and take the Staten Island Ferry, which is free. It'll take you all the way to Battery Park in Manhattan. And once you pass through on the ferry, you can actually have a wonderful view of the Statue of Liberty, and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And all the pictures and all the stuff that you want to take. Of course, they have water taxis and all that stuff to go. And you can, I mean, you have to sign up like almost a year in advance. They had to close down almost a year in advance to go into the Statue of Liberty now. I mean, the tickets are just, they really? Just go. Yeah,
really?
It's a big deal. To really, because it was closed for such a
you
long
just
time.
Can't show up, huh?
Oh no. No, you gotta go online and take care of that.
Really?
Absolutely. So wow. Many people, so, and it's a great sign. So many people want to go see the Statue of Liberty, and you go there and at Liberty State Park. It's really so surreal because you're in this beautiful park in Jersey City, which is like having a park in New York Central Park. Mm-hmm. You don't expect that. And you're right there on the water. You're overlooking all the, you know, beautiful buildings of Manhattan. And then you just look at Ellis Island. You think of, wow, all these immigrants that came to this country were during a period of time were coming to Ellis Island. What was that experience like? What did they feel like? And we have such an amazing country. Mm-hmm. We have such a wonderful place that we call home. It's a gift to us. Mm-hmm. And having lived in a city where there's so many people from so many different places and people that I knew and I came in contact with that were wanting, you know, they're going through the process of becoming a citizen. And it's a special thing. I talk to people all the time and say, man, I remember my mom got sworn in and it was so cool. Wow. And all that. It's like, wow. And why they left their country and what happened when they came here and they didn't have much. And it's just amazing, amazing. And it's because this is a wonderful land that's been blessed. Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. You think about, you know, we're all immigrants. You know, we all came in, no matter which generation of people before us came into, came in from New York. You know, it's just to think about the America is just a land of immigrants. It's just so many people wanted to come and experience a life of that freedom.
It's a huge melting pot.
Mm-hmm.
And what helps everyone that's coming from every different place is that if we unite ourselves under this great constitution, it allows us to protect. When you come and become a citizen, you're saying that I'm no longer from wherever you come from.
That's right.
But you're saying that I want to be a part of this country. I want to protect and serve and defend the Constitution. And I am embracing what America stands for. Mm-hmm. That's what makes us all Americans.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
Have you noticed that some people just are reluctant to talk about their feelings? With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller, and Dennis Swanberg has a rather humorous story about his dad.
And you know, my dad's the type, I'll say, Dad, I love you. And when I'd say that, he would go, well, we never had to bail you out of jail. Well, Daddy, I love you. You've meant so much to me all my life. I love you, what you've done for me, how you've provided for me. And Dad, I don't know how to say it, but just, I love you. And he went, have you changed your all lately?
No one ever gets tired of hearing the words, I love you, even if they can't seem to say them back. So take the time today to call, text, or email those words to someone special, especially your mom or dad. You'll hear Dennis Swanberg's entire message today at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
You know, Jesus said, in John 15, he says, talking of himself, right, Pat?
Mm-hmm.
He says, I am the vine, talking of himself.
Right.
You, us, believers, are the branches.
Mm-hmm.
And his father, our father, mm-hmm. is the gardener.
Right.
And the vine just kind of grows where it wants to go. You know, it grows towards the sun. Natural vines grow towards the S-U-N.
Mm-hmm.
And spiritual vine and branches grow to the S-O-N.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that is neat.
And so, you know, for God spoke to me about, as he called me out to be able to begin to do what we're doing today.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't just happen like this. And he said, very specifically, I'm going to teach you something for 3 years that I'm going to use for the next 30 years in my church.
Wow.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And he confirmed that through Dutch Sheets. It was pretty cool how God had done that. Because you think, you know, when God's calling you, this might be you right now. You might be thinking, okay, I got the call. I'm ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, many are called, but few are chosen. You have to understand that there's a process of learning and growing that you need to understand what does that mean. You mm-hmm. know, when he said, get thee up and go to Abram, that meant 25 years, right?
Right.
Well, you need to get rightly related. You need to get connected to what God is doing. And we tried. So once the 3 years was up, it was amazing. Just right in time, God just showed up in a powerful way. He just nailed it. It said, it's finished. It's time to do it. It was just really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And we started the 30-year journey.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, how can we explain this in a short period of time, you know, a condensed period of time to help people get perspective.
Right.
Of what Vine Fellowship Network's about, and it just integrates with the Word of God. It's just doing what God says, mm-hmm. you know. And so, while Vine, which is Jesus is the Vine,
mm-hmm.
Fellowship is what the church does, and Network, we all stay together and stay rightly related, which is you know, Psalms 133, you know,
right.
And John 17:23. And so, what came of that was called the Vine Seminar, the mm-hmm. Vine Seminar, Vine Seminars, which is. There's several different seminars now that's evolved in, but knowing this, that the main seminar that started it was trying to explain
mm-hmm.
how do you move from a flower pot to a vine? How do you move out of the fences and the confinement of men's tradition rightly, not wrongly,
right.
and follow God in the Great Commission? And God walked us through a way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he confirmed it every step of the way. Well, we share that. We share that at the Vine Seminars. You can find out more at vineseminars.org. You can sign up for one in your city. Fill it out. Let them know that you are interested in it, and we'll make it available to you. It's vineseminars.org.
Welcome back to VFM Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. We're talking about, my goodness, the Constitution. Well, you know, guys, some great news. We've been praying an amazing prayer, and God's been answering
Amen.
Our prayers.
Yes,
he has.
The prayer we've been praying is, Dear God, end abortion, send revival. And here recently, CBN is reporting that a bill banning almost all abortions after 20 weeks is expected to pass the Republican-controlled House, and it actually it did pass. It has passed, and in the House, And this is huge. Now, unfortunately, it's not expected to pass in the Senate. Mm. It's not expected to pass in the Senate. And the president has said that he would actually veto this bill. But what's cool about it is that it sets precedent. Mm. It really sets precedent. And the representative from Arizona, was Trent Franks, he sponsored the bill, and he said he doesn't find it too discouraging. This is what he says. He says, he pointed out, and this is according to Politico, he pointed out to the most recent time Congress passed an abortion bill of this scope, the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act of 2003. That's been 10 years. That bill, he says, fell short and faced court battles before it finally became law. Hmm. He goes on to say that, I think if you hearken back to partial birth abortion, everybody said, you know, it's not constitutional. It can't pass. It can't go anywhere. And it took time to do that. And even it took time to do that. And it had to even succeed a presidential veto. But it eventually did. It eventually did. Mm-hmm. So when just because you start with a bill and it doesn't, it passed somewhere. It right. made some headway, if you yeah. will. Mm-hmm. And you got to kind of have to stick with it. And this is pretty promising. This is really, really promising. Unfortunately, the president says that he would veto this bill. We want to encourage the president to sign this bill into law because we want to protect life. And we're seeing a great, great number of people just responding, and they're saying, listen, staffers that are coming out and saying, look, I don't want to participate anymore. I don't want to be a part of being a house of horror or a place of death. And in a recent article, CBN News talked about women who, for whatever reason, weren't able to have an abortion. They were denied having abortions. Mm-hmm. And they did this study, and it was pretty amazing. They said that overwhelmingly, the majority of women who are denied abortions do not regret having their baby. Listen to this. They were denied, and now they're saying they didn't regret it. Researchers at the University of California in San Francisco conducted a study of 200 women who sought abortions but were turned away.
Mm-hmm.
But they wind up not having them.
Mm-hmm.
In most cases, the women were too far along in their pregnancies to have a legal abortion. Researchers sought to learn the negative effects on women who gave birth to unplanned children. The whole intention here is, you wanted an abortion, you weren't able to have an abortion. How did this affect you? You had a baby here that now
mm-hmm.
you wanted to abort
right.
and kill, but now you had it. So how are you surviving? Researchers sought, so it says, I'll say it again, researchers sought to learn the negative effects on women
yeah.
who gave birth, right? This is what they found out. Instead, they found that 95% have no regrets.
Wow.
95% of women who had did not have the abortions, who had the child and said, I'm going to bear the child, they have no regrets.
Wow.
95%. And it said, in a story published in the New York Times magazine, one of the study's authors said that about 5% of the women, after they have had the baby, still wish they hadn't had the baby. Okay, but one woman who could not have an abortion because she was 23 weeks. See, now this law will make it illegal
mm-hmm.
after 20 weeks. This was 23 weeks. She says, and she's quoted as saying, after she had her baby, my baby's more than my best friend, more than the love of my life. She is just my whole world.
Wow.
Let me tell you something. I mean, how beautiful is that when you realize that, look, you don't have to do this. You know, there is help and we have resources available for you. Listen,
mm-hmm.
go to the torch. Go to VFNTV.com, select the torch, type in the word abortion. You'll not only find many segments about abortion and all the different things that are happening,
mm-hmm.
but you will also find resources where you can help. Maybe you're counseling someone. We just talked about this week, actually, on the torch, that the most dangerous place for a baby, the most dangerous place for a baby, they have all these safety car seats and all this type of stuff on mm-hmm. how we should take care of a child when they're born, but the most dangerous place for a baby is in the womb of a mother.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And Ed Young did a fabulous job in talking about abortion from a biblical perspective and really from a common sense perspective. And it's a great way. And he goes into this talk on how he would counsel someone, a young girl, let's say, that was considering an abortion, and what, and he walked through several key things that she would need to consider when she was be making that decision. And one of those things that she would need to consider is that this is something that's irreversible. Mm-hmm. This is something that's irreversible. And in Wisconsin, they just passed a law that was going to make it mandatory for a woman who's going to have an abortion to actually have an ultrasound.
Right.
And prior to. Mm-hmm. And this law is so good because it allows the woman to have full disclosure of what it is that's happening. And because there's abortion doctors that are telling women that all you have there is a tissue.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a baby, you have a tissue. Well, she needs to know what she really has with her own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And this one of the state legislators, because she is a fiery debate. I mean, it was just well said. But one of the things she said in this, and I thought that was really key, she said, listen, this is irreversible. This is irreversible. So you want to know, she deserves full disclosure on what's inside of her womb before she signs off on aborting. You know, aborting means to kill, to stop.
Murder.
You know, just the word alone. Hello.
Yeah.
And so this is so good. We're seeing the answer to prayer. We're seeing the tide turn. And we're seeing God show up on the scene and moving on so many people. And we want to encourage you to continue to pray that simple prayer with us. Dear God, end abortion, send revival.
You know, I think about the process about this and how God has just been moving the tides. And thinking back on the Gosnell case and how it started with late-term end abortion. You know, almost full term, and how they were responding to basically murder. And now it's moved. I mean, you think about a 9-week pregnancy, 4 weeks and a month, that's 36 weeks. And now that's been brought down to 21 weeks. And they're saying that's 20 weeks. And it's just like precedent from 36 to 20, God, end abortion completely.
Yeah.
So where the argument or even of anything regarding tissue is not even received.
Yeah.
Well, God, end abortion. Send revival, God. Amen.
Awesome. Well, you know, we've been talking about the fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been saying we want to get to it. We're going to share it. We're going to get to it. We're going to get to it today. We're going to get to it. And I know, Pat, you've been sharing out of a book that you have read multiple times, which is The Fear of the Lord by John Bevere. Have the book. I haven't quite gotten to it because I'm reading another book on the fear of the Lord that I can't get out of. And this book was written some time ago. It's called Intimate Friendship with God Through the Understanding of the Fear of the Lord by Joy Dawson. And it's excellent. It's excellent. She breaks down some really, really just amazing things about the fear of the Lord. And one of the first things that we need to know about the fear of the Lord is what it is and what it is not. You know, fear of the Lord is not for us to be terrified of God. He doesn't want us living in terror. The Word of God tells us that perfect love casts out all fear. So what fear of the Lord are we actually talking about? And we're talking about an honor, a reverence, an awareness that God is in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to respect him. We need to do what he tells us to do and not break his laws and his commands and his ways and his word in his face.
Mm-hmm.
And you look across America, you don't see any fear of God. You look in the church, a great majority, there is no fear. There's no reverence. There's no awe. And we need to get back to the fear of the Lord. The safest place is humility and the fear of the Lord. And God's not going to call us to do anything, right? He's not going to call us to do anything that we're not able to do. And one of the things she says, so we can be assured that because God is just, he would never set us a standard without making full provision for us to attain it. Mm. God's not going to set this standard of the fear of the Lord and all of a sudden, no, but no, he's going to give us provision. He's going to enable us mm-hmm. to walk in it. And Proverbs 8:13 says that the fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. That's what the fear of the Lord is. It's the hatred of evil. And she goes on in her writings to say that means having God's attitude towards sin at all times. The more we study the holiness of God from his word, the more we understand the extent of his hatred of sin. We need to ask God for a holy hatred of sin. We need to hate what he hates. And if we don't understand his holiness, if we don't understand his majesty, if we don't understand his splendor, you understand that, listen, God can't stand in the presence of sin. Just sorry, can't do it. God, sin, don't mix. Mm-hmm. He's so holy, he's so pure, he's so spotless, he's so righteous. He's God, he's perfect. Mm-hmm. Nothing personal, no sin. And so if we're living a life of sin and we don't know God, he has to judge sin. See, a police officer wouldn't be a police officer unless he what? Arrests people. That's what he does. A firefighter wouldn't be a firefighter unless he what? Puts out fires. That's what he does. Yeah. And God wouldn't be God unless he does what? Judge and deal with sin. And he has done that already on the cross. But if we refuse to embrace the cross and what was done for us on Calvary and receive what Jesus did for us, and we hold on to sin, listen, he has to judge it. And his wrath and his judgment can fall on you if you hold on to that sin, mm-hmm. or it can fall on the cross. But we have to choose. Mm-hmm. And when we understand that God is a holy God, it helps us completely and entirely, on how we respond to him. And I think it's just so, so good that we get a good understanding of the fear of the Lord. We're going to talk about this more. She has a fantastic prayer in this, and I'm trying to find it for us. Hopefully I can have it for us. But it is wonderful because it really opens up our heart on this journey to say, you know what, God? I want everything that you have for me. And I don't want to live in irreverence towards you. There's nothing more than to see something that's like, wait a minute, that's not right. That should do something to us when we look at somebody that acts irreverent towards any authority. Imagine how much more when we do it towards God. Mm-hmm. And this is what she writes. She says, in regards to God, we stand in awe of you as we contemplate your awesome holiness, majestic splendor, blazing glory, limitless power, and unquestionable sovereignty. We worship you for your flawless character, your infinite knowledge and wisdom, your absolute justice, unswerving faithfulness, and unending mercy and matchless grace, and terrible wrath against sin. We bow our hearts and bend our knees before you as we acknowledge your dazzling beauty, your fascinating personality, your incomprehensible humility, your unsearchable understanding, and your unfathomable love. Mm. We acknowledge that our greatest need is to have a far greater revelation of what you are really like. And we ask you to meet that need. Teach us your ways that we may know you and find favor in your sight. Thank you that you will answer these sincere requests in Jesus' name. We have to understand that, listen, this is not grandma's religion. Mm-mm. This is understanding that if we're going to have intimate mm-hmm. relationship with God, we're going to have to know how to approach him. And understand that he is holy and he is reverent. And we need to have a healthy fear of him.
That's right.
When we return back from this break, we're going to share more.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
This is VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. Light meaning the light of the world, not light like easy. We're doing that so that you can actually not be a part of that. Listening to VFN Radio may be your only light. Mm-hmm. It may be your only opportunity during a day that every news broadcast, every radio broadcast, every conversation is just dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's doubtful. It's this Hitler-like type conversations or mm-hmm. Aryan-type conversations or Iranian or Muslim-type conversations or political, which is type conversations. Or you could listen to VFN Radio. And you're able to hear what's taking place, but then you can hear what God's word says about it, and you can get a perspective, and you go, hey, I can know things without being terrified. I can. Mm-hmm. God has prepared me during this day to have a peace in the midst of whatever's going on. There's going to be a great harvest. We're believing and praying that God would bring a third great awakening to America, and a great awakening changes the DNA of the nation. They said Hitler's goal was to de-Christianize the church. And they wanted to infiltrate it with political people. And what do we have today? We have people who are very politically connected and into some different political parties. And they like the whole scheme of the thing. And then they're coming into the churches and they're trying to de-Christianize it and make it more of a social justice movement. And that's what's taking place right now. Listen, I know this firsthand. And as a community organizer, I saw in my history, my past, that the church was being infiltrated by men and women who weren't Christians, mm-hmm. and the church was just letting them come in to do social justice movements. You got to hear that. We have to understand this. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. VFN Radio gives you that knowledge and that wisdom and that light. We're going to be releasing this week on VFN TV, This Generation. Go to VFN TV. Go to VFNTV.com. This is VFN Radio you're listening to. Go to VFNTV.com and go to VFN TV in your menu, and you'll see a prophetic teaching about this generation. It's called This Generation. And it's time for us to wake up and respond. And it's going to encourage you, because it's going to give you a perspective that if not, the things that we won't give up now, God will have taken away from us.
Mm-hmm.
He'll look, and there's raiders coming in as we speak, trying to raid the coffers, the government, the taxes, the freedoms, the Constitution, all these different things. But understand that God is allowing that. He's not doing it. He's allowing it to take place. It's his permissive will because of the choices that we've made, and he's intentionally allowing it. It's intentional. There's always somebody that wants to raid you,
mm-hmm.
but he's keeping them back. And then, you know, if we don't respond, it just escalates and gets worse in regards to that. Even being sold as a slave to your enemy. You know, slavery didn't start in America. Slavery's been around since day one. Even mm-hmm. Jesus said, you know, as Christians, you know, slaves obey your masters as unto the Lord. If you can get your freedom, get your freedom. So in the context of that, it was just an everyday conversation then. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be sold to my enemy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't want to be sold to my enemy. But I can't be in rebellion to God and think that the end's going to be good. You know, and it may happen on an individual basis. You got to listen to this. Listen to it. It's called This Generation. And what it is you have a pagan generation. But it's not unusual for a generation who has not yet received or didn't receive the gospel being transferred to their generation to be paganistic. But there's hope. There is hope. And God has a way to do that. Go to VFNTV.com and choose VFN TV on the menu and look for This Generation and begin to listen to it now and share it with your friends. It's a prophetic word for this day and this time. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me in the studio is Pat and Steve. I saw some getting down over there back then. Chris, whoa.
Look out.
We're talking about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. And it should produce two things in our hearts, the fear of God. First, it should produce in us the same attitude towards sin that God has. He hates it.
Mm-hmm.
He hates it. So if we're going to have the fear of the Lord, we have to have, if God hates it, then we hate it.
Mm-hmm.
The second is to give, it's to give us a deep respect for and the understanding of the holiness of God and the power of God and the total sufficiency of God to meet man's need. See, if we understand that, listen, we don't have to sin. We can believe that whatever it is, we can believe God to. He is all sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
He can take care of it. We don't have to complain. We don't have to fall into any kind of sin. Everything that we need for godliness and happiness is all found in Jesus Christ. Yeah. If we truly understand that and have that revelation, believe it and walk it out,
mm-hmm.
we're going to be good.
Yeah.
We got to have a total hatred towards those things. The other thing, in connection with the fear of the Lord, is to have obedience. Obedience tells us how much we fear him.
That's yeah. right.
Or how much we don't fear him. And so, once we have a healthy, you know, fear of the Lord, we will start to see obedience manifesting in our life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obedience, dying to what we are, whatever, you know, we feel is the right mm-hmm. thing to
obedience
do.
Obedience says we fear God.
Exactly.
You can't say you fear him if you don't obey him. It's a contradiction.
Huge contradiction. And Jonah found that out.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. When God told Jonah, we want you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah decides,
I don't think so.
I don't think so, God.
Yeah.
I don't think that I'm going to obey you, what you want me to do. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to bow out of this one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a choice not to obey is a choice to disobey. Remember yeah. that.
Either one or the other.
Exactly.
So how did that go for him?
It didn't go quite well. He's on this boat. And storms are raging. Things are going really crazy on this boat. And before you know it, you know, the guys are on the boat. What is going on here? What, you know, can anybody tell us what's happening here? And Jonah's like, oh, it's me. It's the reason yeah. the reason this boat was about to go over. It's because I've decided to
run away.
Not fear God and do my own thing.
Yeah.
And so he tells them, throw me in the water.
That's something. Even these pagans, these non-believers, you know, false idol worshiping people, mm-hmm. had more of fear of God than
exactly.
Jonah.
Exactly. Exactly. They yeah. actually prayed.
How crazy
please
is
don't
that?
Hold us accountable for throwing this man over the
exactly
over yeah. the boat here.
Yeah.
They exercise exactly it.
Yeah.
So he's thrown over and he's swallowed up by a fish, a whale.
Yeah.
And he's in there 3 days. Seaweed, all stuff wrapped around his head. I only can imagine. I can only imagine. Can you imagine this
think about it.
Horrific.
The stench. Pitch black. You know that you couldn't see his hand in front of his face.
Dude.
I cannot imagine.
He was being digested.
Well, think about this. He chose not to fear God.
And go his own way.
And yet he was fearing something else because you know he was fearful of being in that whale.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking, am I about to die here? I've been eaten. What's happening here? Where am I going through? Mm-hmm. Think about this.
Mm-hmm.
And he's fearing something. And this is what Joy writes. She says, Jonah had to learn through a series of horrifying experiences that the consequences of disobedience are always far harder than the act of obedience.
Mm. Wow.
No matter how hard. Think about that.
That's right.
That the act of the consequences of disobedience are always far harder than the act of obedience. No matter how hard you think, you know, it is that you're going to have to do this thing. Listen.
That's good.
We always have God's grace given us to enable us to obey God. And that's the whole thing. Listen, if you haven't been discipled, you need to be discipled because you need to know and learn about the grace of God. God's grace is his supernatural enablement and his empowerment to do what you cannot do in your own flesh. We can do nothing. We can't obey God. We can't tie our shoes without God's grace and his hand upon us.
And if we forget that, he'll remind us.
Oh, he has no problem reminding us. No problem reminding us. And so it becomes difficult to obey God when we're trying to obey him in our own flesh and our own mind and our own formula. You know, they did this. I read this once about monks. That this particular reading that I read talked about this monk who tried to isolate himself and live an isolated life because he wanted to be free from sin. So he thought that I will join a monastery and I will be away from people. I will be away from that internet. I'll be away from that internet. I'll be away from that TV. I'd be away from the movies and the culture. And I'm going to be away from all of this stuff that's going to contaminate me. And I'm going to get all the sin out of there, away from me, so I can just spend just time with me and God in this room, and it's going to be a sinless area. One problem.
He was there.
He was there. Yeah.
You find out yourself is there.
He was there because sin was in his heart.
Oh, yeah.
You can't blame all these other things.
Unfortunately, I've tried.
I'm still here. I'm still here. Because people try to tempt this in the flesh and they put all these barriers. Listen, if a barrier is keeping you, if a barrier is keeping you from obedience, then are you really obeying God? Are you not sinning because you may be found out? Are you not sinning because of the consequences? Are you not sinning because someone's eye is upon you? And so as long as someone's eye is upon you, hey, you're good.
Yeah, a person's eye.
Yeah, person's eye, exactly, because God's eye is always on you. Or are you not sinning because you fear God and you love him? She goes on to say that the more we take the time to study the character of God from his word, facet by facet, the more he will reveal himself. And what she's talking about is abiding. The more that we spend time abiding and listening to God and spending time in his word, and God is speaking to us directly, he'll begin to share with us his will. He'll begin to share with us his ways. He'll begin to share with us his word and what he wants from us to do, how he will encourage us, and oftentimes how he will correct us. And if you're not abiding with God, how do you, the Bible is the mirror to our hearts, is the mirror to our life. How would you know if you don't know the standard? How do you know when you're not in the standard?
Or off the standard.
How do you know that?
Yeah.
How do you know that? And it's only when God's word, which is living, active, breathing, sharper than a double-edged sword, right? Is able to help us with the thoughts and the attitudes of our hearts. It reveals, it exposes, it shines light on us. And that's when we can respond to God as a result of the light. His word is a lamp unto my feet. You know what I mean? But the more that we spend time with him, he reveals itself. And listen to this. The fear of God is evidenced in our lives by instant, joyful, and whole obedience to God. Delayed obedience is disobedience. We haven't learned that. I learned that. You don't want to delay your obedience, because that's disobedience. You want obedience to the Lord is when God says it. You want to respond the minute he says it with joy, whole, and I'm doing it. And that's what God rewards. And you say, well, John, I'm not there yet. Well, you need to get there. You need to get there, because that's where God is. You got to get there, but you're not going to get there on your own. You can get there by crying out to God. and asking God for his heart, asking him for his grace, hating sin, and desiring, valuing. That's the thing. What do you value? Do you value to be in God's perfect will? Do you value the things of God? Are those the highest things? See, if obeying God and walking with God is your highest value, then everything else is going to conform to that. But if obeying God and God is, you know, optional and his word is optional, then you're not going to obey him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
His word is not optional. His word, you know, this is what America has thought for a long time.
Mm-hmm. The thing about disobedience is it creates a veil over your heart of deception.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is that it gets thicker and thicker and thicker. The more you disobey, it just gets worse and worse and worse to the point where you're lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thinking that what you're doing is right when ultimately you're dead wrong. And that's just deception.
Mm-hmm.
That veil becomes so thick that you can't even see.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's almost impossible to come back from that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you need an encounter with God. That's the scary part, because you think that you've disobeyed him and God's winking at a sin, or God let that go. Listen, nothing escapes his eyes.
Yeah.
Nothing escapes his will.
And the worst part about it, too, is just like at that point when you're continuing on that journey and you're still quoting scripture, talking about God, but your life contradicts God. And that's just religion. And it's just lying to yourself and believing that lie that you're justified in what you're doing and God's okay with what you're doing, all the while you're totally contradicting what God says don't do.
Listen, you know? There's an intimacy for us to have with God, but the intimacy is going to be on his terms.
Mm-hmm.
Not on our terms. There is a place of oneness. There is a place of walking with God that's beautiful. I mean, the word of God tells us that he who unites himself with God is one spirit with him. But you're not going to bring your stuff. We're not going to bring our junk with God. He's not going to unite himself. He doesn't unite himself to us. We unite ourselves to him.
Hello.
And we do that
Amen.
By walking in the true fear of the Lord.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.